Hey everyone, it's Daryl. So, quick little note about a website address I give in this episode. I say it incorrectly. That's because they're spelling beehive incorrectly, and it just threw me. So, anyway, if you want to sign up for the newsletter, it is alphaflightbook.beehiv.com. I think I put like another E in there somewhere. I don't know. I don't know, but alphaflightbook.beehiv.com. And you can get all the news about the upcoming Alpha Flight book. Thanks, everyone, and here's the episode.
Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we are recording on our typical Sunday afternoon.
It's true. Yay, Sunday cigaries.
I know. I woke up with them. It is offensive.
Yes. Oh, that feels like it's a reference to something. So I'm being like, and that's offensive.
No. No, I just meant it as I'm really tired of the world crumbling around us, but anyway,
We're here for a corner of joy.
yes, we've been busy. You rewired a lamp this morning.
Well, with your help.
You're learning a skill, and
Electricity just
maybe
freaks me
in
out.
the post-apocalyptic world, you can be a lamp rewirer.
Like those little screws that hold the exposed wire. Like,
Yeah.
what if it touches the other metal bits?
It's
Like,
fine. You,
I mean,
the
I tested it. The lamp works,
yeah, the
so.
purpose is to make contact in that cardboard sleeve is to make sure it doesn't touch the other metal that humans are touching.
Ugh. Not a fan.
I know.
But I have all these tools. We did a staff training on implicit bias and the stories we tell. And one of the icebreakers was like, what's a skill that you wish you had? Or you want to learn? And I said tool things because I have so many
Yeah.
from my great grandfather and my grandfather. And I can only really do right angles with the drill,
Oh.
which is why we have 18 raised beds.
Yes.
But the other stuff would be cool. Or
Yes.
at least some semblance of knowledge, or like what to keep, what to get rid of.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Because
what doesn't make sense anymore because it is so out of date that it could kill you if you use it.
right, like the little fireplace thing, like could we rewire it? Maybe,
Yeah.
but it was
Should
all
we rewire it?
no,
Possibly no.
we should bring it to a professional.
Yes, except you've tried, and people are like, we're not going to touch that because it's an insurance liability.
Well, they were like an industrial electrician,
No.
like I didn't know where to ask, and then someone
No.
was like, ask a lamp repair place, and then they never got back to my online inquiry.
A lot of those places are run by people who are like in their 80s now.
So I may bring it to, maybe I'll just show up and be like, here's a pile of logs with a little rotor and a light bulb.
Yeah.
Can you make it function safely? There's one up by our friend Josh, one of the Star Trek gays. And then there's the fancy, fashionable place in St. Paul.
Oh,
So
yeah.
they were the ones that never responded.
Oh, rude.
But seriously, it's a pile of logs with a lamp and a rotor. Should be
And
straightforward.
speaking of the Star Trek case, we're seeing them after this because we're doing a watch along with them for Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
It's true. It's Khan.
And you've never seen the full movie because you fall asleep during it.
Yeah. I remember you being like, how did you fall asleep during the space battle?
It's true.
And I have skills.
No.
But there's ice cream
Yes.
over there that we brought last time, and then we just forgot in the freezer when it came time to actually watch the movie.
Yeah.
There's a charcuterie board,
Yes.
typically.
Yeah. So it should be fun.
Yeah.
While you were rewiring and such, I set up a newsletter for my Alpha Flight book
You did.
so people can go to alphaflightbook.beehive.com. And beehive is spelled incorrectly because,
What?
yeah. So it's Alpha Flight Book, as it sounds,
Is it like you're
dot.
being a hive rather
No.
than like be the insect?
No. It is beehiv.com.
Why?
I don't know.
Or
You know
I.
what? It's a free service. And myself, as a self-published author who's out here hustling and shit, can't afford a paid newsletter client, especially when this one will reach way more people than will probably submit interest for this newsletter. But anyway, that's where I'm going to first show the cover and the title and give a peek behind the scenes of everything. So That's what I'm doing with the newsletter.
Far out.
Trying to get people excited. And then that way people will be the first to hear news. I'll do a giveaway or two at some point once the book is out there. So
you can do your pre-orders on it or advertise your pre-orders.
Yes, because I set up a dedicated Gmail address. It's wonderful. It's like a second full-time job at this point. Well, it has been, but even more so now.
It's true.
All right. Should we step into Starfleet Academy 14 through 16?
Sure. It is the mystery of T'Priel.
T'Priel revealed in three parts.
I've got part one. And it opens with one of those tropes of like, we're about to die. How did we get here?
You may be wondering how we found ourselves in this crazy predicament.
And it is an all black page with a scree across the page.
Mm.
We thought we knew it all after we'd been through all last year. We figured nothing could catch us off guard. We were Omega Squad. After all, the infamous dead men. How true that name has turned out to be now that we're in our tomb. Blind to see, to not see what was coming. But who would have guessed our lives would end in darkness with that awful sound because we've been betrayed by one of our own?
Okay, did they just give themselves the nickname of the dead men? Because it, maybe I forgot this from it's the prior issue.
It's in the issue that we skipped for Telepathy War.
Oh.
Where they get out of their sentence of death for going to Talos 4. Because when we picked up the issue after that skip.
It makes sense, more sense now.
Yes.
I wish they didn't include like really important beats in that Telepathy War issue that we'll get to.
Yeah.
like Pava is fine. The squad has a nickname. It's like,
I mean, it is a 24th century. I guess they can repair a broken back.
Yes.
Maybe not for Worf.
I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying, like, I wish that the crossover issue didn't have that. Like, couldn't they have saved it for this issue?
Oh.
Or something. I don't know.
So,
but then I would have complained that nothing happens in the crossover issue when we finally get to it. So.
It's true. You can't have it both ways.
I know.
So it opens with the title page, Betrayal, T'Priel Revealed, with her parents being like, "As you, the cadet you know as T'Priel is not our daughter. It's imperative, Admiral Brand, that you contact Commander Zund and have her bring cadets back from field training immediately." But it was T'Priel listening in. She set up a secondary receiver. She's having a conversation with a reflection of herself, which is also a thing that we've seen a lot with, like, possessions and alternate personalities. You talk to the reflection.
Yes, it's very Aurora.
Yeah, I mean, Rutherford did it in Lower Decks.
I'm just imagining, I mean, this came out in 1998, so did Mulan. So maybe she's singing the reflection song. Who is this girl I see?
I mean, she punches the reflection, so I don't know.
They're back at me. When will my reflection show who I am inside?
After the punch is when it does, because she has the eye bags of evil showing. So, also, like, back lip but glowy eyes happens.
Yeah.
Apparently, she has...
Who does she think she is? Snowbird's real form?
Oh. She tries to replicate some Romulan ale, but since that's... whatchamacallit?
It's not
contraband. Yeah. She has open protected personnel file masquerade access code ZZZ unmask 1.
Do you think she says Z or Z?
Oh, probably Z. But it might be, are Romulans that close to Canadians?
I don't know. Also, or the rest of the world. America, we say Z. I think we're the only ones. So she's still a cadet. How does she have such a powerful override?
I think we can maybe answer that later with some inferences.
Maybe? I don't know.
It's not terribly clear.
It really isn't.
And these are the Golgotha protocols, which I feel like is a very Christian reference.
Oh.
Like something happened on Golgotha related to Easter.
Oh, so
and the crucifixion.
I don't know. Is it a Christian reference, or is it a reference to like a Godzilla movie?
I don't know, but the internet will tell us.
I'm gonna call up Chris Cooper. I mean, I know he's busy doing fantastic work in the biological sciences in Africa right now. He spoke at a conference this past week and everything.
Oh, that's
great that you're doing that right now, but can you remember like 30 years ago when you wrote this Star Trek comic and why?
It is an Easter reference. It is the place where Jesus was crucified. So, yeah.
So what do you, what, I mean, I never read the Bible. My Bible is Gone with the Wind or something.
Gay,
but also that's such a problematic book. Much like the Bible.
Yes.
So with you and your Christian background, what does this say?
It's an evil or disastrous place, maybe an evil place.
Okay.
I don't know why a Romulan would name it in their protocols. Or like the good, air quotes, good part of her, the Tipriel part, the non-Romulan part, is being suppressed and being...
So it's like a tip.
Yeah. Like a figurative killing of Tipriel.
Maybe my Bible is like Brideshead Revisited, because that's a super gay novel.
I mean, isn't...
And Evelyn Waugh.
Isn't Evelyn Waugh...
Evelyn.
Evelyn. Are you just saying that because
no,
of...
No, that's how you pronounce it. It's Evelyn Waugh.
What?
Yes.
Oh. Didn't they become super Catholic and conservative?
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, she gets her Romulan ale and a dagger because style.
And then she's like, I'm going to take a swig from this like I'm Captain Jack Sparrow and just stab myself in the guts.
It's true. She does, because the rest of the team is on the USS Dunsel. It is an old Constitution class ship.
And it's like a training environment?
It is a training environment. It's sort of derelict and floating in space. And there's a few squads. And by a few, I mean two.
They've like made it into a haunted house. Like yes. A danger haunted house that you have to solve your way through.
There's a command runabout, a runabout for Omega, that is where Tipriel is. And then there's a runabout for Nebula Squad, which is our friend Yoshi. He is...
Our friend, or Matt Decker's friend Yoshi.
Well, Decker's friend Yoshi. He's there with the one Cardassian in Starfleet, whose family was kicked out of Cardassia by Gul Dukat. So shout out to DS9.
It's a fun little thing.
I mean, I get the whole like allegiance to the state situation that might lead a Cardassian to go into Starfleet, but it's a bit of a shock to me to see a Cardassian there, especially with the whole Dominion War thing happening.
Yeah.
Also someone, I think, from Australia based on the accent. So Nebula Squad is going through, they find Omega, they're trading tips of like, oh, how did you sneak up on us like that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you can set up your tricorder for comm badge pings. So that's how Decker found Yoshi. And then Edom senses Tipriel's pain from a distance.
Yes. So it,
and it's like,
it's like a primal call.
Yeah. Like, I'm going, no one can stop me. Okay, bye. And they, I like how Pava and the Australian cadet are like, that was his warm and fuzzy side. Najilov seems like she's wound pretty tight. Spiral galaxies don't come any tighter. And they both mutter, give us strength. Like, they are the common sense of the team. Of like, these people are insane.
Yeah.
So Edom gets there. He checks on Tipriel, but she zaps him with a hypo spray. And he's like, what is this? Is this Somalin? And she's like, no, I know that you have a resistance to that. This is Jex.
Jex.
Which, like, Jex. Increases... yes.
Into What We Do in the Shadows reference.
So, an illegal enzyme made from Jenk saliva that enhances brain power, but for a telepath, the consequences of its use are literally unthinkable. Like, his telepathy goes bonkers, reads everyone in proximity, like there's an insectoid species, there's Omega and Nebula Squad, and his eyes sort of glow and his brain shuts down. Like it is too overloaded.
Yes, it's sort of sensory overload, but like for psychics.
Yeah, which is another thing we've seen before.
Yeah.
Like in a Buffy episode in particular.
Mm.
So Tapriel also lures Zund over to her runabout from the Command One. Incoming Priority One signal from Starfleet, unable to reroute message. Please return to the Hudson immediately to receive it. Which is weird, because what makes one runabout the official carrier? So we get Admiral Brand back at the Academy while this is happening. And they're talking about something going wrong over with that training exercise. Mm-hmm. And someone, Dr. Kabata, comes in and realizes that Tapriel is not who she says she is because her Vulcan genome is like
new. It's like fresh. Like
it is not the same age as the body of Tapriel.
Like you're feeling it like an avocado and you're like, it's not ready yet. It's that fresh.
It is. Or, I feel like it's like a pineapple where it finally looks ripe on the outside, but it's been ripe on the inside for like a week and it's all brown and gross.
Yeah.
So.
It's not brown and gross yet.
No. So Admiral Brand activates, gets the fastest ship in the sector over to that training zone. And we get back to the Hudson. Continuing the
naming. Alpha Flight. Or rivers, but also Alpha Flight.
Well, bodies of water, Hudson Bay. I guess it's a Hudson River
right.
that goes through New York.
Yeah.
So Zund is over. She sees Edom there, but then Tapriel has activated some sort of bioelectric dampening field that messes with the Trill symbiote, so it incapacitates Zund.
Mm.
And again, we got this backlit, like, evil toothy grin. Backlit eyes, a nice Crash Bandicoot ad with a bunch of bodybuilders.
Oh yeah, we've seen that before.
Yes, I was trying to figure out if I had a favorite, and it might be the one on the end with the crazy eyes.
Mm. Because you know he's given it to you good.
Very Ken Shamrock coded.
Yes.
So back on the Dunsel, Decker and Pava are talking, and all of a sudden Decker sees the body of his dead brother.
And he's like, oh no, dead brother. And like, it's one of those people back from the dead giving you guilt sort of thing.
Yes, like he looks normal and then his flesh starts to decay and then it's just his skull.
And then his mom, dead mom shows up and she's like, don't leave me here. Woo! And then he crumbles away.
She also crumbles a pile of bones.
She is like, bye.
And Decker's like, you, whoever you are, I know these are just fake images.
It's giving me Lydia and Beetlejuice where she's like, can you just cut the shit, guys?
Yeah. And so, yeah, he basically says that. I've got my bionic eye. And Tapriella's like, I've already figured it would be your bionic eye. And she does some sort of feedback loop in on it that also knocks him out. So Pava's thinking to herself, Tapriel's voice, so thick with emotion, she knows about our squad, our strengths, our weaknesses. So got to assume she's already taken out the other. I'll have to call someone else for help. And all of a sudden, there's an EMP grenade behind her. So Tapriel is thinking that it has both blinded Pava's eyes and antenna, but she's wrong. There's a battle, and Pava's kicking ass. Except she can't bring herself to actually kill Tapriel.
She's like, but you're my friend.
And it's like, girl, you have another option. You could just knock Tapriel out.
Yeah.
But she hesitates long enough for Tapriel to knock her out. And she beams everyone over. But Yoshi has been doing that trick with the comm badges and the tricorder and realized that the pulse is coming through our Morse code. And that something's wrong. So he beams over to the command runabout. And I think it's a Tellarite in command.
Oh.
Like, he's giving swine vibes, but not so bad as, like, the original series where it's, like, just a rubber pig mask.
He's giving pork.
Yes. So Commander Evo Omega Squad's in trouble. The Hudson is breaking formation, and this no one answers the call to turn the ship around. Mm-hmm. There's a warp core breach in 5 seconds, and kaboom. Everyone thinks that they're dead. But Omega Squad wakes up at a base. T'Priel is in one of those awful carpet fabric uniforms that the Romulans seem to love. And they are doomed. They're in a vault. The door is being closed shut. And there's raptor rats everywhere. Sort of doing that, like, glowing eyes, like in Haunted Mansion.
Raptor rats sounds like such a 90s creation.
It does.
Raptor rats. You know they're bad because they have claws.
So back on DS9, Nog is working on a panel, and then someone is off panel saying, Nog, they're not dead. And he's like, what? I'm busy. Who's not dead? And they all need your help, especially T'Priel. And Nog responds, well, of course they're not dead, Kamala. And then realizes what he said, and no one was there. But then Yoshi calls and is like, something's happening. They say that they're dead, but they're not. And Nog is like, I believe you. Let's work on it. And that's the end of the issue.
The one letter from any of these issues I wanted to point out was in here, where it's some child writing in from summer camp. And they're like, there are 200 kids here. And 50 of us were reading issue 10 and they wanted Pava to walk again.
No.
So like fully a quarter of the children at this camp have Starfleet Academy in 1998.
Or
these children are getting beat up. These children are being bullied.
Or are there only like 5 copies and they just share them because they need something to read? It's a comic book. It's cool.
Maybe. Or did they just make up the letter? Not outside the realm of possibilities.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a sort of pessimistic way of looking at it.
Yeah. But some child, even in a real world scenario, like they're all gathering around like the canoe and talking about Starfleet Academy.
I mean, when I was at summer camp, if I was the loner like weaving because the camp had a loom. Like if there was a comic book laying around, I would have read it.
It's very Odyssey of you.
Yes, just call me Penelope.
Yeah, like it's getting near the end and you just unravel and you're like, I'm not going to marry anyone yet.
I don't want to go home. I want to keep working on this. And that's the Table Runner that's in the hutch upstairs.
Oh.
It looks like it was made by a fourth grader.
No. Maybe we can break that out. Our second issue is part 2 of 3, T'Priel Revealed. And it's just a picture of this corpse. We know her name is like Selkie, right?
Selic.
What? No, it's Selkie.
Oh.
It's Selkie, which is an NHL reference.
Really?
The Selkie trophy is given to the forward who best excels in the defensive aspects of the game.
Oh.
The best defensive forward is given it. One of my favorite hockey players, Patrice Bergeron, is the one who's won it the most, 6 times.
That's a lot of sports puck that just happened, and I didn't pay attention to any of it because sports puck.
All right, so the title of this is Origins. You complete... It's you incompetent, Ferengi idiot. So we have Nog... and what's his name, who makes out with Matt Decker all the time?
Yoshi,
his friend. See, two of us can play at this not listening game. The comprehension for names and me, we already know, is terrible.
But you went off about Selkie.
Selkie Smooth.
Oh, I all guess right. I misplaced the E and the K.
So they are in a Ferengi shuttle, basically. It's one of those small ones we've seen on TNG before.
With like the little pincers, because that's what the Ferengi ships have.
And it almost looks like it's the DS9 version from some views. Like, I feel it differed slightly between the first appearance on TNG. I don't know.
I mean, the one that Quark gets from Gala looks like that one, where it's just like a little tube with little pincers at the end.
So they're off and Nog is doing Nog stuff.
He's recalibrating the warp core.
And it lets off, like, some exhaust, which actually ignites where a cloaked Romulan ship left the neutral zone.
Yeah. They were like, we won't find anything. Starfleet was already here.
And then they're like, but we, that charge... we pooped out this dust, and the dust is showing us the way.
I mean, I was going to say the charged plasma is showing a trail left by the dispersal pattern of another, of a cloaked ship.
Or pooping out the dust.
Or I guess so.
All right. Then we go back where the rest of the squad is in darkness. The raptor rats are eating one another alive, but they're being surrounded. But don't worry, they get scared off by this creature.
Yeah. So the lamp is failing, and Pava with her antennae and Decker with his bionic eye were like, Zun, stay in the middle. We'll protect you. And then, yes, this very Fin Fang Foom.
Sort of. He sort of looks like one of the Inhumans.
She. Oh, yeah. She does look like Triton.
Yes.
There's like a crest going around her. Like that dinosaur from Jurassic Park. That
Dilophosaurus.
That spits the poison.
Yes.
Yes.
There was no Dilophosaurus in Jurassic Park that we saw last Sunday.
No.
Sadly.
But the... Did we talk about that already on the pod?
No.
Oh, we went to a show called Jurassic Park. About and done by trans actors, and the idea that all these dinosaurs were created, but because they included the genes of a toad or a frog, the species that can change its sex depending on what's needed, what to do about that when they start changing, and how to accept it.
Yes.
So it was good. It was fun. It was a present from Good Sister.
Yeah.
So the dinosaur saurian type creature
is like attacking Zund.
They're like, or mammals, stop killing these things.
And Zund is like, would it help if I told you there's a worm inside?
Yes.
But then Helicith, the monster, is told to stop by a Romulan who comes in rags and explains, yeah, the two of us have been here for months because we know the truth about T'Priel.
I thought that it was a Vulcan because of the title professor.
Yeah.
And I suppose, oh, Romulans can have professors too, I suppose.
Yeah. So after that revelation, we go to Selkie and Subcommander Thakal.
Yes.
Thakal.
They're lovers.
They're lovers, except like there's a weird power dynamic here and he's slapping her.
Yes.
So
problematic in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like mostly because of slapping, but also later on we'll see.
So then we get a flashback as to how this all happened, where the Selkie was paired up with the professor who we just met.
Yes.
And another Romulan doing archaeological work.
Yep.
And T'Priel had
taken a gap year.
Yeah, she deferred her admittance to Starfleet Academy for a year so she could like explore whatever they're looking for.
They're looking for the origins of all these Vulcan type species that are out in the galaxy. Oh. Because you've got the Vulcans, the Romulans, and the Mintakans that all share a common heritage.
So they met up and they're like, hey, Vulcan, we're working for the same goal, so let's just work together.
Yeah.
But it turns out that after spending a lot of time together, where Selkie and T'Priel got to be really close friends and everything, well,
the other student is like, I'm in the Tal Shiar, Bush.
Yeah, like, stick him up. And here's Helicith and her people.
So they discover the ruins. Helicith is the last of the species.
Yep.
And that's when the dude is like, this, all this technology, all this power, I'm claiming it for the Tal Shiar.
Stick him up.
Yes. So T'Priel throws some sort of bag into a river, causes a giant explosion, a chain reaction.
That's not the river. That's the little thing the Saurians just came out of.
Oh, the portal.
Yeah. So it goes boom. Everyone else had taken cover, but she's too close, so she is dying. Selkie goes up and T'Priel is like, I need you to take my Kotra back to Vulcan. I'm downloading my entire self into you.
It's true.
We'll see it. later today in Wrath of Khan.
Oh, yeah.
So then Tabriel dies. But did she die?
Yes.
She did indeed. And then we go back to the Dark Cavern, where the same story is sort of being told by the professor.
Yeah, and that's why Tapriel's body is here in a stasis field. Actually, don't know why it's in a stasis field. That shock value.
Yep.
The long game.
So then the professor goes into more of an explanation. They gave Silky cosmetic surgery.
The genetic engineering.
Yes.
She fell in with the wrong sort. And by the wrong sort, I mean the Tal Shiar.
Yes. You found this nice ad for the Concert Connection where it advertises, leave a message for your favorite artist. Let's call in and leave a message for Jewel.
What is she up to these days?
I don't know. I mean, or Genuine. Genuine Pony was such a formative song.
I don't know that song.
We could call Veruca Salt.
What? That's a real person?
It's a band.
Oh.
Not just the character from Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
But one of the bolded ones you pointed out was Liv Tyler.
Yes. Or Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. JTT, how's it going?
Nev Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people. Do you think they ever, ever got these messages?
Like, would you two and Madonna really go through the messages that they received through a
comic book? Oh, we can call R. Kelly and Puff Daddy.
Mm. No, thank you.
So in the comic, we get Zund, who is like the call, the fool, and she seems to know something about these caverns. Like, there's more that she knows.
Yes.
So
she knows her way around.
Yep.
She knows where the exit is.
Mm-hmm. So they start off looking for that. In the Ferengi shuttle, we have Yoshi and Nog get intercepted by a couple Romulan ships.
Because they were like, har har, we made it to the neutral zone undetected.
And Romulans beam in, and Nog is like, he made me do it. He's posing himself as like a Ferengi trader.
Yeah.
So he can be like, I'm just trying to make some money.
Look, I found you a human.
Latinum. They get transported back to the Romulan ship, and then their ship is like impounded.
Yeah, it doesn't actually work, but I thought it was a good play.
Yeah. Elsewhere, we have our favorite character, Idom.
I thought you were sincere. I'm like, Papa?
No. Our favorite character.
Sarcasm.
Disrespectfully. Idom. Getting slapped awake by Selkie, and she's like unhinged. She's crying and laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
And she's like, we need to hook you up to some machines. In the caverns, they're making their way to the exit. They run into Nog and Yoshi being escorted by Romulan soldiers. But the Romulan forces are taken down pretty quickly because there's a member of the Resistance, Spock's Resistance, that helps take down his fellow folks.
Yeah, I was surprised by how much detail he was speaking before the other troops were actually knocked out.
It's like, you're going to have to kill all of them now.
Right? Like, just hold it in until they're all KO'd and then, like, let your actions speak for why the Starfleet folks shouldn't knock you out too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they all get their asses handed to them. And then the one guy from the Resistance gives them a little transporter transponder.
Yeah.
Like, here.
There's a Resistance ship in orbit.
Like, beam up. You got one chance and you got half an hour.
Right. Use it anytime within the next half hour. After that, the ship is gone.
Yep.
Because the beaming will reveal its location.
But they decided that they need to like go back for Idom.
Yes.
It's too bad. So it's all for one and one for all, because it's one beam out. So you got to stick together. So Zunda's like, let's go. And they do. And then they find Idom.
All sorts of brain probes going in.
And they're like, they've murdered Idom. And I wish.
That is the cliffhanger at the end of the middle issue.
If that was the end of the last issue, I'd be like, okay.
You did not make a good impression.
No, and he's
falling still, on a corpse, like there's actually no way to come back from that.
Doesn't like as we
yeah being a dick with his parents
and, yeah, and like even this issue that we're about to get into still not coming out smelling like roses, Adam.
No. So on the planet Romulus, Selkie is about to learn exactly who she is. Apparently these lava falls are a metaphor for Romulans.
Don't go chasing lava falls.
Starting like at the heights of the spirit to the depths of the soul, full of fiery passion.
And now it looks like they're in hell.
Yeah. So it turns out that this is a nightmare for her because Tapriel is crawling up like, she looks like rigor mortis. Half her face is a skull.
We wish.
She's got a raggedy cloak on and she flings Selkie into the lava. So Selkie wakes up in the arms of Sokol and...
I'm really confused because there's a Sokol, there's a the call.
Oh, this is the call. Okay. Yes. So how I long to feel your touch again.
Ugh.
After all those months undercover in the Federation, buried inside Tapriel's mind, surrounded by the unfamiliar without any comfort. And he's like, then you didn't find any comfort with anyone else? And she's like, no.
And he's like, what about what?
He pulls a phaser on her.
What about that man?
It's like instance number two of domestic violence.
It's so bad.
So then they have to talk about Edom and how he doesn't actually mean anything to her. And she's like, of course not. I'm in control of my emotions. I mean, what? And he's like, well, you are revealing that you're a bit more Vulcan than you should be. But then they get a message over the comms that the prisoners have escaped and that there's been inside help all along. And isn't it fortuitous that you haven't completely disposed of the Betazoid yet? Now we know where they'll go. They will like what they find. And we get like a half and half of Thokol's face and Decker's face. And Decker's like, she's going to pay. I'm going to get revenge for killing this person I don't actually like. And they get him down. He's alive. He's like, I'm touched, Papa. I've always liked your hands. And he's like, Yoshi's here? And Nog, my popularity has soared. And Nog is like, he suffered brain damage. He thinks we actually like him.
Best line of all three issues.
It's true. So the Saurian is there. What are you waiting for, mammal? You found your missing whelp. Now use the signaling device to get out of here. So they have to do a little bit of filling in the gaps for Edom, which also serves to... fill in the gaps if this is your first issue that you're picking up.
Yep.
And
at this point, why would you be picking up Starfleet Academy 16?
Oh, well, I'm sure someone did.
Is it the cover that just says suicide on it?
So the professor is vaporized. Thokol is there with everyone else. Zun tries to get them out, but nothing happens, and Thokol reveals that he replaced the device with a fake. He knows who the mole is, and it's Sarteth, who we learn his name finally just in time for him to be vaporized.
Yeah.
Is this Star Trek Discovery?
We hardly knew ye.
Yes. So then they're like, well, someone betrayed us. Start killing them one by one, starting with the Ferengi. And Zun is like, wait, I did it. And it was Selkie, actually, who did it. The Vulcan inside you apparently is becoming a problem. So do I try to purge her from you or do I simply kill you? And Zund starts revealing a little bit more of her hand. Kill your pet project, Thokol. Admit failure. That's not like you. And he's like, you talk to me as if you know me, Trill, unless... you can't be that same Trill from all those years ago. Welcome home, my friend. Isn't it delicious irony since you're the one who made all of this possible? Mystery alert. But we don't actually get much more than that. And Zun tries to play it off. I have no idea. It's just the raving of a man who will be beaten in another 5 seconds if Nog's timing is accurate. Because there's a Trojan horse. The shuttle blows up in the... docking bay. After two Romulans are like, har, 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 there isn't even anything of valuable on board. Oh, what's this timer? Oh, shit.
Why is this ticking?
They're real dead. So this distraction creates a rumble, or is a rumble, that distracts the guards, and everyone attacks. The disruptor of Thokol is destroyed. Like, they make a point of destroying Thokol's disruptor here.
And maybe his hand.
If only. But Priel is just standing there, slash sulky. Like, her mind is at war with herself. Zonda's like, we've got to end this quickly. So there, she's like, everyone fire at the floor, and everyone crumbles down, presumably into molten lava. And to Priel, it's like, makes a dive, saves this actual, the real signaling device that was dropped. And does not go with Thokol. He runs away. So Selkie's like, this has been disabled, but given a little bit of time, I'm sure you all can fix it. I need to run away in the opposite direction of Thokol. So there's a little bit of internal dialogue of like, don't you want revenge? No, she's our friend. Like, Tapriel is still in there. It's not entirely Selkie. And shouldn't you, of all people, considering what you did with Red Squad, acknowledge that? So Matt's like, yeah, I guess. So there's some flashbacks to Selkie slash Tapriel running. Is she running through the streets of Romulus? Is she running through the valleys of Vulcan? She gets to the lava flow, grabs her head in dramatic fashion, and Starfleet is there to try and save her. But Thokol, like, climbing up from the depths, has found a new disruptor. Like, somehow has circled down and around. Very odd. And they're trying to save her, but he's trying to push her over the edge, either physically or mentally. It doesn't really matter at this point.
Yeah.
So Decker reaches out to her, and she's like, okay, but they'll call fires. Luckily, Edom has done the same Talosian trick of messing with his aim, like his powers have come back just a little bit, so he could manage that part. But Tapriel falls, Zund hits the button, the Romulan transporter catches everyone, including Tapriel, and off they go. They're being pursued until they get to the USS Sagan, which has been waiting at the edge of the neutral zone. And Captain Stewart fires weapons at the pursuing Romulan ship. It goes elsewhere. And then everyone has a nice reunion in the bar. Or the lounge, the mess hall. And it is an Intrepid class ship. It is like Voyager.
Oh, I did notice that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was fugly.
No, I like it. I like the Intrepid class.
And yeah, there's a nice moment between Zund and Captain Stewart. And everyone's like, but how did you know to look for us? And after another ad, we get Admiral Brand and Boothby, because it all comes back to Boothby.
That was your comment when you were reading this initially, too.
Yeah, I don't quite get
He's
him.
He's like the Deus Ex Machina. Of this entire Starfleet Academy series.
And I guess if you're a big fan for some of the TNG stuff, you'd be like, yeah, sure. But
I guess.
Not like, my jam. It's okay.
They also went to that well a couple times for Voyager.
Oh, that Boothby knows everything?
Where Boothby was present, yeah. Oh. Either as like an alien masquerading as Boothby, or like actual Boothby, I feel, in a flashback or something.
So we get another flashback to the cave and the body of the actual Tapriel. And Thokol is like, my masterpiece, all mine. I'll never let you go. Never. And yeah, that's the end of the issue. It's a happy ending, sort of.
Yeah.
Tapriel, hopefully it goes back to Vulcan and separates the Katra, or
like does what she says she wants. Was going to do
that she promised she would do.
Yeah.
Or at this point, is she merged, and then like eventually when she dies, she has to go back to Vulcan?
I don't know.
Also, is there like a Katra depository? How do you really summon's Katra?
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be a ritual and some.
I'm sure there's sacred, a gong.
There's the like wall panel of bells.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it must be some sort of ceremony to release the Katra out into the ether.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that's
Sarah. There's a stern Vulcan woman. in like a head wrap who's just grimacing as you're trying to do it.
Oh, gotta be some descendant of T'Pau, like
to all, something.
All that like stern Spock amok stuff, like that doesn't just end with her. Like there's a long line of Vulcan women.
Yes, amok time was not a one-off for her.
No. So yeah, that, what did you think of that arc?
It was good. It paid off. And they've been laying the mystery down for over a year in terms of publication history.
Yeah.
For T'Pau. So we finally got the answer. Over 3 months. So like
this, oh, yeah.
This was like a really big lead up and a big payoff.
I keep forgetting that these arcs are only 1 month at a time.
Yeah. So the sad thing is that our next episode, I think we have two issues.
And that's the end of Starfleet Academy.
That's the end of Starfleet Academy.
So then we move into Voyager.
Yep.
And then Telepathy War.
Correct.
And because there's one tie-in issue with Voyager.
Yep. And then
somehow.
And then there's Early Voyages, which are five issues.
Okay.
Which is probably going to be one episode. That's Early Voyages is the original series cast, but like filling in things that happen. Like one of them is seeing Savick as a kid.
Oh, okay.
Who you'll see in the movie, Kirstie Alley.
Oh.
So it's like little background stories. The last big series that we have to get through in terms of Marvel after Voyager is Untold Voyages. So not Early Voyages, but Untold Voyages.
Okay.
Which is Captain Pike.
Oh.
It's the original series Enterprise before Kirk took over.
And this is, I mean, clearly long before Strange New Worlds.
And it actually lasted quite a while. Like, at least a dozen issues of Untold Voyages. It's one of the longest running ones.
That's a lot of Star Trek all at the same time for Marvel.
Yeah. Yep. And then they went bankrupt. I don't know.
And then it all came to a close.
I have to figure it out. I still need to email these people and be like, question one, why? Question two, how?
What happened?
Yes. But I thought they were pretty enjoyable to read.
Yeah, I mean, the tropes are classic tropes.
They are.
But it was done in a way that made sense for the story and made sense for their target audience, mm-hmm. who wouldn't necessarily know, like, oh, of course, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
But then the reveals of, like, oh, there's someone from the underground who's there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the person already knew because the Tal Shiar is going to Tal Shiar.
Mm-hmm.
And except for the Boothby part, I thought the resolution worked and it was good. So,
yeah.
Like how T'Pau took down the whole squad was pretty cool. And now we have a leftover mystery about Commander Zund.
Yeah, we do.
How did this 23-year-old T'Pau become a commander so fast?
Yeah. Oh, there's a bird on that window screen.
Oh, yeah. The Psyllids hatched. Psyllids are a symbiotic species with hackberry trees, which are native to the area. So they create little nipple galls on the leaves that don't really look attractive, but they're fine. It doesn't actually hurt the tree. But that's where they lay their eggs, and the little larvae live protected there until they emerge in the fall. And then they look for some place to hibernate until they can lay their eggs in the next spring.
And they did that in that window frame. And now the birds are eating.
Ever since that tree was planted, we get like certain times of the year, chickadees will be like on the window screens on the side of the house, like having a little snack.
Good for them.
Maybe it's like popcorn to them.
Ooh, enjoyable. All right. So as a last minute plug, it will happen next episode too, but alphaflightbook.beehive.com. And you just plug your email address in there to sign up for the newsletter about the Alpha Flight book. And we'll see everyone next week for Alpha Flight coverage. And I think I know what issues we're reading. I think I looked ahead.
Oh, okay.
I have a plan.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yes.
You are the person in charge of this.
I promised Wolverine.
Oh. Well, now I'm less excited.
So we'll see you next time. I hope some of you are excited.
Okay, bye.
Bye.